Hey, IKR listeners, this is Allie, and I had a great opportunity that I wanted to share with you guys. I was recently a guest on a different podcast called The Big Top, and it's hosted by two women, Amy and Lori, and they're fantastic, bright and fun and insightful, and they are in a series that's all about motherhood. And we haven't talked too much about motherhood on IKR, so I thought it would be great to actually share part of our interview with you. So we've included sort of an abbreviated version of the conversation that I had on The Big Top about motherhood, marriage, and of course, my love of Mexican food popped in there as well. It's episode 9 in their series on motherhood. And if you love what you hear, then please, by all means, become a subscriber of theirs. The Big Top is a great podcast, and these are fantastic women. So loved my time with them and hope you enjoy the conversation on motherhood. Here it is.
Good. All right. Welcome to The Big Top with your hosts, Amy Seifer
and Lori Brittenham. We are just two women juggling too many things, and we're inviting you to come join our circus.
We both love laughing and learning, and our hope is that you go back to your own circus just a little bit lighter. Enjoy the show. All right. We are back for another episode of The Big Top, and I am Amy Seifer. We are here with my co-host, Lori Brittenham, and we are excited about our special guest, Allie Patterson. Friends, how are you guys doing today?
I'm good. I'm doing all right. Al, how are you?
I am doing great. And you just called me Al.
I know. I was like, can I do that?
You can totally do that.
That was awesome.
The only two people in the world that call me Al are my brothers. So as soon as it came out of your mouth, I was
and
like,
me. Oh.
My brothers and Lori.
You're your best friend.
It's good to meet you, Al.
Al is doing good.
Let's talk a little bit. Can you give us a little bit about who you are, what you're up to, a little bit about your family? Yeah, tell our listeners.
Absolutely. My name is Allie Patterson, and I am a wife of about 20 years. We're just shy of 20 years. And we have four kids, awesome kids, Andrew, Luke, Zoe, and Hope. And they're fantastic. And I love being a mom. And I've always had other things in my heart and in my life. And when I first came out of school, we actually landed in Cincinnati, Ohio, because I went to Procter & Gamble. But I do believe that God began to show me like a real call on my life to just move closer to what he had for me, which I didn't know at the time. But I had an opportunity to come on staff at my church, which is Crossroads Church based out of here in Cincinnati. And it's not at all what I ended up doing there, but I took it because I knew that God was moving in my life. And so I worked on staff for a couple of years, and then I left to stay home because I was having a second baby. And again, I felt like God was kind of pushing on me to have a period of time where I stayed home and I did not work. And so I stayed home for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And then I never thought I would go back and work at Crossroads, but I knew that God was still alive and active, and I trusted him with my future. But I slowly began to realize that I love to teach. I love to learn. I love to teach. And at some point I began to realize I'm going to go back to school. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know how or how this will go down. So eventually I did take a part-time position back on staff at Crossroads, and I started seminary. And I'm in my final like lap, I guess. I've been moving slowly because I'm a mom of four and I have a job and I have a life. And so I've had to go the long way around, but I've been plugging away, and I absolutely love it. And so I'm finishing seminary in the next year. I'll be out. And I am now in a teaching pastor position at Crossroads, which is a big deal. I think it's the first time we've ever had a female occupy a position like that at Crossroads. So I absolutely love to learn and teach and communicate. And I do that in all kinds of different settings. And I love it.
We are cheering you on.
Allie, you're like paving new paths at Crossroads.
You know what? Here's the thing. I really have done a lot of thinking, and I know that you did a Women in Leadership whole series, but I'm always in process with God about this. And the thing that he keeps impressing upon me as I just pray and process my life, it's my life. It's not, it's just me and what I'm doing. I just keep thinking he's doing it. It's not like I'm not executing a plan that I had. I didn't have the plan of what I'm doing now. And I feel like, I've been, following open doors and, to the best of my ability, trying to follow him. And here I am doing what I'm doing now. And this is, it's amazing, but it wasn't a grand plan that I went to execute. It really is just a result of who I am and where my life has led and what doors he's opened and a constant conversation with my husband and with God about where to go next. And it feels adventurous. And so here we are.
I love that. I love that idea. You're not, this is not something that you're carving out. You're like, you're responding to what's in front of you.
Absolutely.
Combined with your makeup of your gifts. So that's beautiful.
Thank you. But being a mom is, I believe to my core is the single most life-changing thing that I have ever done. Not only life-changing, but me changing. I mean, it has altered who I am. And I mean that in a wonderful way. The ways that God has worked in my life and in my character as a result of motherhood far, far exceeds any other set of circumstances that I've ever had in my life. And so some of that's been amazing and blessing, and others of it have been long periods of suffering, but it's all been forming me into a different person. And that is incredible. And it really is. I believe not only motherhood, it's not in isolation, but because I'm a mother, that's what God has used to alter me. And so it's just been, it's been incredible journey of being a mom. And I love it. You probably can tell that, but I absolutely love being a mom. And I think my kids are awesome, and I really like and respect them as humans. And so we have fun together, and I love the ages they're at right now, 'cause they're not rolling their eyes at me yet.
Yes. But, what are their ages again? Can you give this?
My oldest, is 12. He'll be 13 here in just a second. We're definitely in the preteen, tween, early teen world right now. I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. Though my willingness to talk openly is serving me well.
Totally. Yeah, I bet it is.
It totally is. They're like, Mom, just no, we don't need to talk about that again.
No, too much.
Yeah. It's enough. We don't need 101 again. I'm like, 101? There's more.
I know my son always, when we start talking real talk about all kinds of things, he kind of looks to the side, not at me, just to the side. And I'm like, oh, he can't wait till this is over.
bring your friends over to Aunt Allie's. It's no problem.
That's awesome. She'll talk.
Fill in the blanks.
Yeah, Allie, like one of our last guests, Courtney DeFeo, she was kind of talking about what you were talking about. She called, when she became a mom, she called it having a spiritual awakening. And I thought, that's such a great way to put it, because your heart kind of expands a million times and you experience God differently, people differently, your whole grid just changes. So,
I think there's really probably two things in my life that have given me new depths of grace for other people. And becoming a mom is just like a whole new level of compassion and grace that I have access to that can never go back. Now that I have it, I have it. And I can look at you differently, and I can speak to you differently, and I can interact with you differently because I understand grace in a new way, because I know that nobody gets this right.
Totally.
Right? Yes. I mean, none of us get it right. So I can just appreciate your efforts just like mine, and you know, and I can have grace for you, not just in motherhood, but in any different circumstance, mm-hmm. I can appreciate, I think, the fact that none of us get it right.
Totally.
In a whole new way.
That's good. Yes. Good. That's so good. Yes.
Such a good word.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Wow, Ali, you were like ministering to us. It's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. but hey, I'd love to ask you a question. I just love to hear from you. Like, so you're speaking at Crossroads, you're a pastor, mm-hmm. you're doing all the things. So how are you juggling motherhood and work together? And mm-hmm. even just being a wife, how are you juggling yeah. all that? Like, do you have advice, secrets, tips?
I would say that when I stayed home, with my kids and no job and no school and nothing but me and the kids for 7 years. That was the time that I really felt like there was a total reset. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is all of who I was and what I thought I was doing with my life was, turned upside down. I struggled with that period of time a lot. Mm-hmm. And, but in the struggle of that, I was able to be absolutely clear coming out of that season. What am I doing? Like, and to come away from my children and my home, it better be good. Like, because I'm highly committed to these individuals. And so if I'm not following God into a new territory that goes outside of them, then it's not worth it. And so I really had a reset of priorities during that period of time where I frankly am not interested in doing things just to do them. And so each day I'm like a very, how do I want to say it? Ruthless prioritizer. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely clear why I'm doing almost everything that I do with my day, because my preference is to lean toward being at home. Mm-hmm. And so if I can be here, I will be here, even if it's a work day, even if I'm doing my job from here. And that was a major shift for me during the 7 years when I was staying at home, because I really realized how much my presence matters to the other people in the house. Mm-hmm. And so I stopped thinking I could go and do things that would help them. And I started thinking that they just need me. Mm-hmm. And so I maintain that now. Like, it's, even though I am doing other things in my life, I hold them to a really high standard. And I also now get to have conversations with my kids where, with integrity, I can say, guys, I'm going to be away for a day, and here's what I'm doing, and here's why it's important. And they actually get that.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I say, like, there are reasons why we should and need to be apart sometimes. And I can articulate what that reason is. I know it and I believe it, or I wouldn't be doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't even come close to having that understanding about myself unless I had been home for as long as I had. Hmm. When I was in the, what I would call that very much a struggle with God.
Yeah.
And with me about, I mean, it's like when you have three kids and then you have another baby on purpose, it's like you're drowning and then someone hands you a baby to keep
over. Right? You know, totally. I mean,
it's like, yes.
So it is not, it, a lot of that wasn't pretty, but it really stripped me down to the core of like, what am I doing here?
Yes.
And what do I want to do with my days and my weeks and my life?
Yeah. And the struggle, yes. Mm-hmm. So that struggle, like identity issues.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely. And definitely some stripping away of pride. So I had a moment where I was unloading the dishwasher, and I actually hate to unload more than I hate to load. Is that weird? There's some psychology about that. I'm like, they're clean. I don't want to do anything else. They're clean. Like, yeah. If I could set the table from my dishwasher, that would be great, because that's much more efficient. But so I was unloading the dishwasher one day, and I think the babies were napping. I was alone in my kitchen. And I started to cry. And it wasn't like a sad cry. It was like an angry cry.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to God. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm standing in my kitchen on a Tuesday at 3:00, and all I'm freaking doing is unloading the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I hit the wall with God. And do you know what I felt like? It's one of those rare times where I could actually quote him. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And
yes.
Like he said something to the effect of, we're going to do this until you stop judging what I've given you to do.
Oh, that's good.
And it was like, you like the impression I got was like, you think you're too good for this. You're not.
Yeah.
And, wow. And it, so maybe some people get there quicker than I did. I needed 4 kids in 7 years.
Totally.
That's what it took me.
Yep.
But it really, that's what I mean. Like that's an identity altering thing. Like you don't, that's not just about the dishes. And so that's why whenever I talk to new moms or younger moms who are wrestling with, could I ever work less, even if it's not stay home, or could I like it when women wrestle with, could I just come away from the busyness, no matter what that means for them, and allow myself to be in the discomfort of becoming a mom and running a home, because it's not because I think we should all be, you know, making homemade dinners from scratch every night. I don't. I actually don't like to cook at all. It's it's an uncomfortable place to confront who you are and what you think of what you're doing. And God really met me in that place. And motherhood feels like an endless line of tasks, but it's exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. And so I needed that reset for me. It's like, this is not an endless line of diapers and dishes and chore charts. It's not. And so you need to get that and get that thoroughly before you can effectively do anything else. And so I really needed that. I think I had some ingrained things that where I just thought, well, I can do something great. What the hell am I doing unloading the dishwasher?
Right.
And God was like, oh, that's interesting.
Let's talk.
Right.
Totally.
But it's really, that was hard. And I remember how hard that was. And I want God to deal with me, even if it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
I'd rather know that I'm being dealt with than where are you? What are you doing? Why are you leaving me alone? You know,
yes.
I'd rather struggle through something hard with
I'm sure that speaks to so many of our listeners, and it's speaking to me, the idea of wrestling through, you think you're too good for this, and thinking this other thing is better or,
and
more glamorous. All right. So you just mentioned meals. Like you don't like cooking. You're not a fan of that. So what do you do? What do you do for your family? How's it work?
I actually do cook because I want my family to eat well. I just don't really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's all about finding ways to, minimize it. So I want my kids to eat well. I want them to eat fruits and vegetables. I want them to eat, you know, healthy stuff. And so I buy that and I cook it, but I just try to take shortcuts wherever I can, honestly, like in preparation and, all that kind of stuff. But for 6, it's no joke. You throw 1 or 2 extra people in there and you're cooking a banquet, you know?
Totally.
For real.
Wait, do you have like a go-to meal that you're like, this all the time?
Yes. I'm going to tell you what it is.
Right? Tell us.
Tell us.
Okay. I buy 2 pounds of ground chicken.
Okay.
And refried beans and like a taco sauce, like a good seasoning packet. Mm-hmm. It's called Frontera. It's actually sauce, not just not just a powder.
Okay.
And then I can chop up any vegetables I have or anything like that. I put it all on the stove, and that's like, that can be burrito filling, taco filling.
Oh yeah.
Salad, anything. You dump some salsa and lettuce on that. You're good. The kids
preach
burritos.
Yes.
And you can make it slightly differently. You could do ground beef or you could add black beans. I mean, you could do whatever. So that's my go-to because I love Mexican food. That's favorite.
Yes. Yes.
And so I do like a big Mexican skillet of all kinds of Mexican, and then we can put it in tacos or burritos or on salad.
Oh girl, you're speaking my language. My husband's like, it's Taco Tuesday.
Yep.
Now it's Taco Wednesday, Taco Thursday, Taco Friday.
Taco all
taco
the days.
Every day. Okay. Wait, so let's talk. You kind of mentioned your husband in there as well, obviously. and some dishes, like spicy dishes maybe. So how do you keep your marriage spicy? Right?
But yes, okay. So
real talk.
Listen,
get it, girl.
Coming out of the phase that I previously mentioned where there's a lot of babies, a lot of diapers, after our youngest, I would say turned maybe about five, it just kind of dawned on us that we had lost a degree of intimacy. Like great teamwork. Also, we maybe lost a little bit of emotional and physical intimacy along the road somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I would say the last 2 years, we've really been on a journey to recover some of that. Hmm. So this summer, it's been really fun because my oldest can watch the kids for an hour or so. Yes. So we've taken advantage of that. And we have a spot that's 5 minutes away with a great patio. So we go down for a weekly date night at Grove Park Grill at like 8 o'clock on Thursdays. So we go every Thursday. And the other thing we're trying to do is either on Saturday or Sunday morning, whichever works for us. We just talk about it ahead of time. We get up and we have like 45 minutes or so. And we just tell the kids, if you wake up, that's fine. But it's mom and dad, we're having coffee.
Mm.
So we have coffee together then. And the reason for both of those is really simple. I need time with him to talk and connect.
Mm-hmm.
And then the physical side, all the physical intimacy comes so much easier when I feel like we're really connected like that.
Yep.
And plus, it's just fun. Whenever we spend time together, we realize, oh my gosh, I like you.
Yes.
You are so nice. Like,
yeah, I remember like why so I did it.
And I end up, like, we end up sharing the little things that you just forget to share in the hurry of running a family. Mm-hmm. And I think what we discovered anyway was that we're really good at running a household together.
Yes.
Like we really, and that's a thing that we actually do very well together. Mm-hmm. And so that can mask over the fact that we're not, because we don't fight about that kind of stuff. We're actually really kind of a good team.
Yeah.
That can really mask like a lack of closeness and intimacy for a good long while.
Yeah.
We're fighting to get some of that back. And I think this summer has been big for us.
Oh my gosh. That makes so much sense.
Really good.
Our pastor, at our church, he's also a marriage counselor. And he talks about, there's sort of three hats we wear in our marriage, just like you're saying, like friend, lover, and, roommate or teammate.
Mm-hmm.
And so often you can be great in like two of them, but one can, you know, fall to the wayside. It's recovering all of those and just like you're saying. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And I mean, I do know couples that would say they're not great teammates.
Yeah.
That has never been an issue for us, but we've really had to remember again, teammates is not enough. It's great.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's not enough. And so I think it's just been giving ourselves the space to, and the permission to leave our kids and to connect just the two of us, to have a glass of wine, just talk about whatever we want to talk about and be together. Because we've been together 24 years.
Mm.
I mean, that's a long, long time. So. Yeah,
it's awesome.
But I still like him. I still like him.
Like, yes, you do.
Yeah.
All right. So Pastor Mama, we love it. Is there a quote or a passage of scripture that as a mom has been really meaningful to you?
Yes. And I bet it's one that most people and even most, people who don't go to church would know. And it's, Psalm 23, the one that starts, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I lack nothing." And I think that I would love it if anybody listening actually read that word for word, because it's meant a lot to me as a mom, because I've really, I think motherhood is it's just a really long journey of redefining your whole existence, which is what we kind of started with. And I love Psalm 23 because what's behind that is that, God knows where to put us and when to put us there.
Hmm.
And I think it's been a long journey of learning to trust him, that I am in the place that he has for me. And that has looked different at different times. And so, that to me is a psalm of learning to trust your shepherd and to follow him to places, even when they look different than you thought, even when you go stay home and you never thought you would, or
right?
You're working full time and you feel overwhelmed and And also understanding that you have a shepherd who knows you, and he knows where to put you, and he knows how long to leave you there, and he knows where the water is, and he knows where the food is, and he knows how to protect you. And that psalm has meant a lot to me. And the only job of the sheep is to follow the voice of the shepherd. Mm. That's it. Mm. And so I just keep coming back to that, because I think my number one job is to just get in the sound of his voice. Just get within the sound of his voice.
That's good.
Yep.
Because other than that, I mean, I don't want to be overly simplistic, but man, it's been a long journey of just learning to trust and follow him.
Yeah.
And I've landed myself in some places I never thought I would be.
Yeah.
But it's that, so that as a mom, I mean, and you know, every phase your oldest kid goes into, you have no idea what you're doing all over again.
Right.
Totally.
Sorry.
I don't know how to be a mom of a seventh grade boy. I'm about to get out.
I know.
So again, like it's a new moment for me to go, I don't know how to do this again.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Good. Yes.
So that psalm I always come back to, and because it is a journey of following. Mm-hmm. And that's been a huge deal for me, to take pressure off that I'm not supposed to know the answers, that I'm not supposed to get it all right, that I am supposed to put myself as close to him as I can get. And follow.
It's good.
But that's probably the biggest thing for me as a mom.
What piece of advice would you give to those who are maybe not yet moms? Mm-hmm. So one piece of advice to the not yet moms, and then okay. One piece of advice to our mom listeners.
Okay. I would say, if you are not yet a mom, you get to craft a life that you really love. Like you really are free to, I think we have more freedom than we take a lot from God to put together a life that feels like a life you really want to live. Mm. And if you're not in a season where you're a mom yet, great, super fantastic. Take full advantage. Do the things that you can do in that season that feel like a life you really want to live. And I just think it dawned on me too late, I think, that like I can choose, and I can choose what I get to do in, and that's best done, of course, in relationship with God, I believe. Mm-hmm. But in any stage of our life, we do have choices. And so if you're not a mom yet, I would say, awesome. You've got some choices that some of us don't have. And so start asking questions about like what would it feel like to live a life right now that really felt like a life I wanted to live, a life I really love to live? Because I do think even though sometimes we have to choose things that that a lot of times the world around us says we shouldn't, that doesn't mean we can't choose them. Mm-hmm. And so I just think we can take our freedom and use it really well, then we end up living a life we really want to live. So take full advantage of the season you're in.
Oh, and Allie, so good.
As far as like mom advice,
yeah,
I think the number one thing that I would say to any mom at any age of any child is God gave you your kids on purpose, and you are what they need. Mm. And He matched you with the intention of providing for your child. And so you don't have to be somebody that you aren't, and you're not supposed to hit all the mom bullet points. You're just supposed to parent them as you. Mm. And so again, that has led me to such freedom. If I'm enjoying what I'm doing, my kids are going to enjoy what they're doing. If I go do something that I hate just because I think good moms do it, well, that's not going to work out very well. So I am what they need. And so if I can, if I know myself well enough to know what I really like to do, well, then they're going to like to do, you know, they're going to like to be around it too. And
yes,
bring so much more joy as a mom rather than trying to hit the all good moms checklist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just had to burn that to the ground about 7 or 8 years ago. I was like, screw it. I can't do this. I'm not having any fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't want to build Legos. I'm sorry, children. Your mom hates to craft. It's not going to happen.
So, oh, girl.
That's amazing.
There you are. You get to parent as yourself.
Yes, it's the best.
That's for real. That's good.
That's so good. Oh, this is good. I'm chewing all kinds of things. So good.
It's been so fun to be with you guys. It really has been. You're wonderful, and I love what you're doing, and I'm going to keep listening.
Oh, that's so great. We love what you're doing. Y'all, everybody, add I Know Right to your podcast listing. We'll add all this in the show notes, but
great.
You guys are doing beautiful work too. I love it.
Thank you. Well, it's great to be with you. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
You too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, we'll see you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, Big Top listeners, isn't Allie Patterson? I mean, isn't she fantastic? Man, I love her encouragement to us to get in the sound of God's voice. I mean, it's so brilliant, and it's like been sticking with me. And so even as I kind of go about my own circus today, I want to position myself to get in the sound of his voice, whatever that might mean for my day, to clear away things that need to get cleared away, to quiet the noise, to hear from God's voice in the midst of it all. So, wow, thank you, Allie, for being a part of this. Thank you, listeners, as always, for listening and then sharing on social media. And as well, so many of you have let us kind of know the encouragement that you found in our episodes. And we could not be more grateful for your texts, your Facebook messages, your Instagram mentions, all the things. Thank you for sharing how the Big Top has encouraged you, and we want to continue to hear from you. So continue to do that, because we're over the moon that you're listening. We can't wait to bring you more fantastic content next episode. So enjoy your circus today. Ask questions of those around you, and fight to keep your heart light so that you can laugh hard and learn well in whatever circus that you are a part of today. All right, we love you guys. See you next episode.